بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Today's majlis may be last morning majlis of this year's i'tikaf. It is our desire, it is our hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us one more day. But it's possible. So I thought that looking at the faces of people, that there are many brothers sitting here who must be fathers. And tarbiyah of children is very, very vital in this country. Everywhere, but more where we are. So there are two, three articles in this new book which is published. So inshallah, if everybody pays attention and try to take notes in their minds, in their notebooks regarding tarbiyah. Tarbiyah is not that you just nurture your children and bring them up. And once in a while you say to them that, beta, this is wrong and this is right. And just send them to the madrasa and leave the tarbiyah and the talim to the madrasa. No. Talim and tarbiyah is not the responsibility of the madrasa. It's like if your child is sick, then curing the child is not the responsibility of the hospital. It is your hospital. It is your responsibility. And to fulfill your responsibility, you will hand your child over to the hospital. You understand what I'm saying? And if you feel that the hospital you have admitted your child into is not doing the job that the hospital is supposed to do, then either you will complain, you will discuss with them, you will argue with them, or you will take out the child and take the child into another hospital. You understand what I'm saying? So by giving admission to your child in a Muslim school or a madrasa, you are not absolved of your responsibility. I am not saying that madrasa has no responsibility. If the madrasa, if the principal of the madrasa, if the teachers of the madrasa do not fulfill their responsibilities, Allah will question them on the day of Qiyamah. But that doesn't mean that you will get away by saying, oh Allah, I handed my child to the madrasa, ask them, not me. Allah will question the madrasa and you also. Then how much did you check what the madrasa was doing? Because talim and tarbiyah is your responsibility. So talim and tarbiyah of every child is the responsibility of the father. And then the mother also. And if it is our responsibility, then we need to learn how to give talim and how to do tarbiyah. I was born in a very remote small village. And the nearest city from my village is about 40 kilometers away, Navsari. It is not well known amongst those people who don't live in Gujarat. Surat is the city that is well known. And I came to the UK at the age of 10. The very first time I saw Surat was when I had to take a train from Surat to Bombay. So born in the small village, growing up in the small village, with only a handful of friends, two, three friends, four friends, playing in the fields, climbing the trees. So the tarbiyah was very easy for parents. Because there was no vice. There was no evil. The villages were very pure. People had less knowledge, but they could do with that less knowledge. They were ignorant people, but values were there. Values were there. And no vices. No TV, no cinema, no magazine, no photos, no nudity, nothing. So the slates were clean. In this day and age, right from childhood, the screens everywhere. So the child is attracted to the TV screen, to the computer screen, to the mobile screen. Right from childhood, the child is seeing all these things. You understand what I'm trying to say? So Talim and Tarbiyah, in this day and age, people have to learn Talim and Tarbiyah. Before, Talim and Tarbiyah was automatic. Everything other than Talim and Tarbiyah before was manual, now it's automatic. But Talim and Tarbiyah before it was automatic, now it's manual. Every person has to exert effort. Majority of the children who are being saved from the evil influence of outside are the results of Dawah and Tabligh, the Madaris, and the company of the Ulama and Mashayikh. Not the parents. Parents may be one in hundreds of thousands. If a father has a very, very pious child, it may be the result of a madrasa, it may be a result of a sheikh, or it may be a result of Tabligh Jamaat. Not parents. And the parents have not encouraged the child to go to madrasa or sheikh or Tabligh Jamaat. The child itself has. Maybe the alim has attracted him, maybe his friend, or maybe Dawah and Tabligh, Gasht and... So parents are very negligent in regard to this. So those who are already fathers, understand your responsibility. And those who are going to be fathers, you also need to be very, very careful. Talim and Tarbiyah. Talim and Tarbiyah. My father was very, very particular in regard to Talim and Tarbiyah. And I have acquired a lot from my father's Talim and Tarbiyah during my childhood. You know how I get the courage to talk so much? When I was in Bhoria, when I was very young, then during the mango season, we friends used to throw stones at the mango tree to get the mango. It was permissible. Parents allowed everything, so we used to throw stones. Big trees. So when I was studying at Darul Uloom Bari, I may have become a half Maulvi. So my father one day, he sat me down. And he said to me, that do you remember your childhood in Bhoria during mango season? So I said, yes, I remember. So he said, what do you remember? I said, we used to throw stones to get the mango. So my father said, that did the mango drop at every stone? I said, no. At the first stone? I said, no. He said, we had to throw many stones before the mango came. So he said, did you ever lose hope? I said, no. We kept on throwing stones. So he said, when you become a Maulana, and when Allah puts you on the minbar, keep throwing the stones, never become hopeless. Sooner or later, Allah will hit the hearts. So I say certain things which people in this day and age would not be able to get rid of. WhatsApp. Who is going to accept it? Who is going to accept? Get rid of WhatsApp. Who is going to accept in this day and age? But despite that, I continue to speak, and inshallah, until I breathe my last, I will continue to speak. Because I never lose hope. I know that one day Allah will knock on the doors of the hearts of the people. This was the tarbiyah of my father. This is tarbiyah. And he, in my young days, when I was only 15 years old, he would teach me tasawwuf also, in his own style. The very first time I led Taraweeh at Masjid-e-Noor, the madrasa of Masjid-e-Noor, not Masjid-e-Noor, the madrasa of Masjid, the young boys, five of us. No mistake first day, no mistake second day, no mistake in the first ashra, no mistake in the second ashra. And when you are young, these things are very important to you. Very important. When you grow up, you understand that these are not important things. So, yesterday I led the last four rakats, even if somebody had to, no problem. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. People make mistakes. But when you are young, you want to break that record that I performed Taraweeh without a single mistake. And then my father, he would not go to perform Salat in the masjid where he was the imam. He would come every day at Isha to the madrasa property to listen to my Tarawih. He was very fond of his children progressing in deen. Every day he came to listen to my Tarawih. So in the last ashra, around the 25th, 26th, I made a mistake in Tarawih. And when I made a mistake, I thought that my father is going to tell me off today. There are only quarter Jews and you could not done any mistake. So we left the masjid after Isha Salat together. And we were walking down Burner Street, opposite Masjid-e-Noor, and there was only me and my father. And when he saw that there was nobody there, he stopped and he looked at me. And he said that you made a mistake today and I am very, very happy. He said, you made a mistake today and I am very, very happy. And then he said, you know why I am happy? He said, until today you did not make a mistake and last a few days I was worried about you. That if my son does not make a mistake during the Tarawih, he will become proud of himself. And this will be very detrimental for him. So I hope he makes a mistake. So pride and riya does not enter his heart. Ujub does not enter his heart. Now at the age of 15, I did not understand what is pride and what is ujub and what is kibr. But when we say something to our children, it enters their heart and mind. And what they have been taught when they grow up, they understand. So ujub is very, very dangerous. Kibri is very, very dangerous. At that time I did not understand what these things were. But he had put this in my mind. So when I understood what ujub was, what kibr was, then I made a point of trying to keep myself away from it. This is tarbiyah. Tarbiyah is not scolding and hitting and punishing. No. Tarbiyah of the mind. You force your child to perform salat. This is not tarbiyah. Tarbiyah is that you motivate your child to believe that salat is compulsory and if I don't perform salah, I will have to answer on the day of Qiyamah. Forcing children to do something is martial law. And martial law doesn't stay for long. Democracy comes. And once democracy comes, everything will go away. When the child reaches the age of 18, democracy will rule. Martial law will not be able to rule. And if we nurture our child properly, then after the child becomes 18, there will be no martial law, no democracy, there will be khilafah in his life. Khilafah in his life. He will be able to control his nafs according to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you have problem in doing tarbiyah of your children, then you should turn to experienced ulama, experienced mashayikh, experienced da'is who knows how to handle, so that they will give you tips and they will advise you on your issues. Don't just try to handle it yourself, because sometimes the reaction could be very, very dangerous. Love, respect and recognition is a natural need for every human. So if parents don't take out time for their children and don't give them love, don't give them respect and don't recognize them, don't give them recognition for the good they have, then they will go outside. This is where the gang culture stems from. For recognition he goes outside. For love he will find a girlfriend. For respect he will become the leader of the gang. If you give your children love, respect and recognition at home, then the child doesn't need to go outside. But parents have no time. Parents have no time. Religious families also, ulama and the du'at, da'is and ulama, please, I'm urging all of you, worry about the ummah, but at the same time worry about your children also. Are children not part of the ummah? Worry about the ummah in such a way that you include your children and wife also in that ummah. The ulama also, for example, me working here, and you say, oh, he's a very hard working person. But what I have to ask myself is that am I not neglecting my family as far as deen is concerned? And nurturing children does not mean that they remain obedient to us. Oh, bahut acche hai meri bachche, mashallah. Why? Because they obey you. Are they performing salat? As far as faraid, wajibat are concerned, what is their condition? So people feel that, no, because my children are obeying me and they do what I tell them to do, they are very nice children. So because they obey you, they are very nice children. And at the same time, they are disobeying the Creator. How can they be nice children? So make some kind of arrangement at home where on a weekly basis you are able to sit down together. Sometimes in small matters. You know, certain matters are very, very delicate. Certain matters very, very important. There you discuss with the appropriate people. You discuss that matter with your brother, with your wife, with your parents, whatever. Not with children. But certain things. So get the children together. This weekend we are going to go outside. Shall we go to the safari park or zoo? Beta, what is your opinion? Beta, what is your opinion? Because as far as we are concerned, whether we go to safari park or zoo, it's not going to make any difference to us. Give them importance. So give children importance right from their childhood. And if you give them importance, keeping them within their limits, then inshallah they will feel honored. Don't remain a dictator. Become a father. Umar radiallahu anhu once asked one of his friends, another companion, that when you go in your home, what is the condition of the house? Now Hazrat Umar, everybody used to be frightened of him. Even the Sahaba were reluctant to ask him questions. But he was very different in the home. And we will learn from this that he was different in the home. So he said, what is your condition? He said, when I enter the house, nobody dare come in front of me. So he said, then you are not a father and you are not a husband. If your wife is scared of you, if your children are scared of you, you are not a father and you are not a husband. When you go in the house, they should come running towards you. My husband has come, your father has come, go to the door, my dad, Abba. When they are very, very young, they do that. They come running to us. At that time, we have no interest in them. We say to the wife, take him away, I'm tired. And because we don't give these children, when they grow up, 12, 13, then we want the children to come near us, but they have no interest in us. No interest. He is having a nice cup of tea in the kitchen, and as far as he hears that my dad is entering the house, he is gone in the bedroom with his mug. He doesn't want to see the father. They can't see eye to eye. What type of relationship is this? So love, respect and honor. Take out time, take them out in the park, take them for a picnic. If you give them all these things, they won't need to go with other people. May Allah give us all the tawfiq. May Allah give us all the... Children are the greatest asset in this. Greatest asset. There is no greater asset than children. If you have big mansion, gold, silver, everything, but if your children go on the wrong track, you are gone. And if according to you they are not on the wrong track, but because you are not religious, And they are also not religious. On the day of Qiyamah you will know. You will suffer on the day of Qiyamah. Each parent will be asked two questions regarding each child. Each parent regarding each child. One question, Mada allamtahu? What did you teach your child? And second question, Mada adabtahu? What adab did you give? Yani what tarbiyat did you give your child? And when the children will be held accountable for their wrongdoings, what will they say? My parents did not nurture me properly. My parents. As long as they don't give us any hassle, alhamdulillah, I'm bored ayo puriyo se. Namaz bhi nahi padhe to bhi bored ayo. Namaz nahi padhe to bhi bored ayo. Because he's a hassle for Allah, not for us. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. We wake them up for Fajr, mashallah, because we want to do their tarbiyah. We make them fast during the month of Ramadan. Very nice, good, according if they have the ability, slowly, slowly. But when they do fast, when they do wake up for Fajr Salat, do we even praise them? 7-8 year old child on a Saturday, just to train that child because there is no school. We say, okay, beta, you wake up tomorrow, 6 o'clock Fajr. We will go to the masjid. The child wakes up, big sacrifice. Then comes to the masjid and then goes back to sleep. Do we ever say to anybody, alhamdulillah, my son woke up today for Fajr Salat. My son is very good, very nice boy. Never. No acknowledgement. So what incentive does he doesn't understand Jannat at this age. Many of us who have family problems with wives and many of us who have problems with our children is the result of our harshness with them. And once love goes out of the heart and hatred sets in, it's very difficult. Because we don't know how to deal with them. So we think that wife is under my thumb. We feel that the children are under my thumb. So I can do anything I want with them. It doesn't last for long. It's a with wife also, give and take. With children also, give and take. Sometimes we bow down and sometimes. So when we say when they reach the age of 15, 16, bigad gaya. No, he has not become bad at the age of 15. He was already bad at the age of 7, 8. But at that time he could not revolt. He felt that he was weak. So he was waiting for this moment. And we are the cause of this revolt. Because we did not nurture him properly. Whatever you swallow, before swallowing you will always ask yourself, is my stomach going to digest it or not? So whenever you tell someone off, the first question you should ask yourself is, that is the person I'm telling off going to digest this or not? Does this person have the ability to digest what I am about to do? And how will you know whether the person will be able to digest or not? It all depends on how much love you have inculcated in his heart for you. If the person loves you 100%, if the child loves you 100%, then the child will be able to digest any bitter pill that you give. But we don't give them love. And because there is no love, that means that the stomach is very weak. And then you tell that child off, no, it will not be able to digest it. And this is the same thing for Mudarrisin also. Mudarrisin also. You, first and foremost, you have to inculcate love in their hearts by being kind to them, by fulfilling their needs, by giving them, showing them love, kindness. And once your love sets in, then you turn your face away, you tell that child, oh, because of love, the child will come towards you. And the child will not feel that, oh, my father is bad. He has, no, the child will feel grieved that, oh, my father has been hurt because of me. By making a mistake, I have hurt my father. And now I have to do something to make him happy again. And if there is no love in his heart, my father has hurt me and I need to take revenge. If not today, then after 5 years. And you find so many young people after age of 15, 16, they remember everything. I know because I have gone through this cycle. My dad did this to me, my dad did this to me, my dad did this to me. He wasn't there when I needed him. When I went to him to ask for something, this is what he did. When I went to talk to him, he said, no time, you're disturbing me, go away. They remember everything. So they don't revolt just like this. They don't revolt just like this. Listen carefully to this story. One of my students did not want to become an alim. But he was admitted by his parents in the madrasa. He didn't want to become an alim. By force? No. When the parents said, beta, you go to Darul Uloom now. Yes, dad. Okay, fine. Alhamdulillah. He did not revolt. He did not say, I don't want to. Because he was telling the madrasa that I don't want to be here. Do something for me. He was not telling the parents. He was telling the madrasa, do something for me. I don't want to study. So we asked him after a while, that why are you not telling your parents? So he said, I'm not telling my parents because they gave me so much love throughout life. I do not want to hurt them. So without his knowledge, I met his father. And I said to his father that your son doesn't want to be in Darul Uloom. But he has so much love for you and your wife that he will never leave madrasa. So even if he plucks the courage to come and tell you, just say that go back to madrasa, you can't stay home. He will not go anywhere else because he loves both of you. And I told Maulana Ayaz Sahib that whenever he comes to you to say that do something for me, say that this is not our, tell, talk to your parents, because he's not going to talk to his parents. And that very student is the same person who gave the bayan after Fajr today. He is a mufti now and he teaches fiqh and he works in Darul Ifta at the Islamic Dawah Academy. One of our senior teachers. This story is of that same person. Love. Parents gave love. So he thought, how can I break their heart? How can I break their heart? I don't want to become an alim, but how can I break their heart? It's a coincidence that Mufti Sahib gave the talk today. Despite not wanting to, so I said to Maulana Ayaz Sahib, ask him that you don't want to study, then why do you come first in every exam? So he said, because I want to make my parents happy. Love works, love. So if a person works hard 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, when he acquires the taste of ilm, his mind will change. And that is what happened in the third year. He said, I'm studying now for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for my parents now. And I will complete the course. When Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib Hardui, rahimahullahu ta'ala, came to our madrasa, he said, how many examinations do your students write per year? So I said, 2 examinations. So he said, these 2 examinations are for ilm. Do you have any examination for amal? So this was the first time I heard from him that there is examination for amal as well. So I looked at him with a questioning gesture that I have not understood what you are trying to say. So he said, once in a while, take out a 20-pound note from your pocket and when the students are in their classes, just drop it in the boarding somewhere and then see after they are released from the class whether the 20-pound note remains there or not after they are back in the class again. He said, you will be testing their diyanat. And this is, he said, this is an example, but this is what you need to do. Then he said to me that when you give them exam, then give one exam. We give one exam where there are no examiners in the room. Tell them that they can go in the examination room with their notebooks, textbooks, everything. And then before you leave the examination room, you say to them that you are on your own. The books are in front of you. The exercise books, everything in front of you, notes. But it is not permissible to look at it. Allah is looking at you. And he said, leave the room. Let them write the examination. So he said, at least you will not know, but the student himself will know how much he is progressing as far as amal is concerned. In madaris also, ilm is imparted, but amal is not, don't pay attention too much. So, final words for today's majlis. Ta'lim and tarbiyah is an essential part of every Muslim. Learn how to do how to give ta'lim, and learn how to do tarbiyah. Just enrolling in a madrasa, enrolling in a Muslim school, and end of the story, no? So we as parents need to know what's happening at the school, what is right, what is wrong. Also in madrasa, how our children are being taught, how they are being nurtured. And we should keep a good eye on our children. Not spy on them, keep a good eye on our children. Give them love and monitor them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. And also make dua for this book that may Allah accept it. This is the first volume with 55 articles. And second volume is another 55 articles is being prepared at the moment. And then inshallah third will also follow. So make dua that people will benefit from these articles.